Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night with, I'm going to say, a bucket list guest, Michelle Rodriguez for Dungeons & Dragons. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing very well. I'm happy to have you here. So every Collider Ladies Night starts with this first question. What was the movie, the performance, personal experience you had, you name it, that first made you say to yourself, I have to be an actor and nothing else?
Ooh, wow. It happened the opposite for me. I have to be a writer and nothing else. And then I became an actor and nothing else happened with the writing. It was really weird. I decided I wanted to be in the movie industry because I'm fascinated by movies. I used to go to my friend's house all the time and watch her VCR tapes. And most of the VCR tapes that she had there were like B-movies. But I just was in love with the idea of telling stories on the screen. And I fell in love with it so much so that I tried, doing the school thing and it didn't really work out for me. So I just took my GED and my brother told me about Backstage, the newspaper. And I started looking at Backstage. Then I started doing background work. So I did background work for about 2 years. And then my brother was like, you better start pitching in and get a life. Or I'm going to kick you out of the house because you're an adult now. I think I was like 18 or something like that. And I was like, okay. And I tried doing the get a life thing and I did the school thing for a little bit. And then I ended up like $5,000 in debt. And I still had this bug that I, needed to be in this industry, whether it was as a writer or something. And eventually I ended up at a girl fight, open cattle call. It was like 250 girls. And next thing you know, it was all history from there. You know, I trained for her for about a month because I had no experience. I was like, I never graduated high school, but I could beat up most of the girls in this room. That was my attitude. And give me an opportunity and I'll try. She gave me acting lessons and decided to take a chance on me. It was Karin Kusama. And it was her first movie at NYU. It was her thesis. And it took her 6 years to make Girl Fight because they wanted the boy to win at the end. And she held her ground and said, I won't take your money unless you let me make this movie the way that I wrote it. And she had wrote it because Lucia, I believe it was Lucia Riker, who had a Golden Gloves fight against a boy and she won. And all the men producers were like, the girl could never win. We don't want to make a movie about a girl winning against a guy. What is this? It took her 6 years to make it. Can you believe it? And she decided to trust me, a little knucklehead from Jersey City with no education. I was like, all right, I'll take it on, you know? It was a challenge. I took about a month's worth of acting classes so I wouldn't bite my lower lip during scenes because I used to get nervous. And that was it. From there, everything kind of flowed. Next thing you know, I haven't stopped working since.
Speaking of Karin standing her ground on that particular element of the film, One of my favorite things about your body of work, and when I read about how you carry yourself on sets and all sorts of productions, is how you always advocate for yourself and for your characters. So I've got two questions about that. First, having had the courage to do that yourself, especially when it can be scary when you're first starting out in this industry, what advice would you give to an up-and-coming actor out there who wants to make sure that their voice is heard on a set, but also that it's being heard in a way that's actually going to spark change?
You know, I'm probably not the best person to talk to because I pissed off a lot of people on the way up. And I got to say, I draw a line in the sand. My line in the sand is very clear. You know, there's a line for self-respect. There's a line of this is what I wouldn't do in front of millions of people around the world on purpose. You know what I mean? And if you try to cross that line with me, you know, perhaps trying to get me to play a slut in front of millions of people around the world won't happen. Try to get me to be the loser girlfriend who has a cheating boyfriend and cries over him an entire film. Not going to happen. Be the girl who's a stripper or a drug dealer because Latinos are thrown into that box all the time. I'm like, not going to happen. Girl who uses her Cleopatra power or her sex to get everywhere that she's going to go. Not going to happen. So as long as you don't break any of those rules with me, I'm easy to work with. I'm very down to earth and super collaborative. But the minute that anybody tries to force any of those things on me, I'm like, I don't mind going back to Jersey City to my old life because those are the lines that I would never cross. But most people want it so bad, they're willing to sacrifice certain things along the way. And I'll tell you, you know, just from my little experience of 20-some-odd years in this business, the minute you cross one line, the rest are going to fall like dominoes. So you got to hold your fort and be willing to die in the name of that line. You know what I mean? You got to literally be willing to give it all up. If you're not willing to give it all up in the name of your lines, your ethics, your morals, whatever it is, then, you know, then you're gonna sacrifice some things that might bite you in the ass later. So I pissed off a lot of people on the way. I got to say, I've been blacklisted from a lot of things. I've gone without work for very long periods of time in between things because, you know, people mistake my courage, I guess they would call it courage, but it's just me being me, for an attitude or something. And it's not that. I just know what I want, and I know what I'm not willing to do to get it.
It's a very important line to draw. Having always advocated for yourself since the very beginning, it does make me curious, how have the things that you fought for changed over the years, both in terms of your personal priorities, in terms of the types of projects you want to be working on, but then also in terms of how the industry itself has changed?
Dude, I'm so stoked. I mean, before it was like my only means of acquiring freedom was doing action movies, you know? And I always felt like, why do I have to act like a man to gain any freedom in this business, like, and not be the girlfriend? You know what I mean? it was really, really hard. And now it was like, you know, I was alone pretty much because I was like the tomboy girl who did all the action movies. And like, and now you see a lot more feminine women, you know, who really wouldn't necessarily think of punching someone in the face in a kick-ass action film. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel really happy about where we are today. I got to say, in the beginning, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, it was rough out here for women who wanted to be free, independent, and speak their mind. And I feel that has changed so much in the last 20 years. And I'm super proud of where the industry has come.
You know, a big part of that too. What you just said reminded me of a quote that I had read from you when you were promoting Widows. It was this idea that experience inspired you. I think that the terms you used was to take a sledgehammer to the tough girl persona. So how did that goal arising at that time wind up influencing how you tackle a character like Holga in Finishing Letty's Story?
You know, it's intriguing because, you know, I mean, there are obviously, you know, different types of humans on the planet. We come from both men and women. And, you know, I think to survive, you know, from the ghetto, from being in a very aggressive Jersey City growing up, I acquired very masculine qualities just so I wouldn't end up pregnant before 17, you know? Smell the armpits, act like a dude, he won't be attracted to you and you won't get pregnant. It's like a male deterrent mechanism, you know? It worked like a charm, to be fair. I'm here, you know? But, you know, I think it's more traumatic for me specifically to take on that masculine quality. I don't think it was natural. I think had I been in an environment that were less aggressive, I may have had a soft power shine through that is a lot more sophisticated and I think personally beautiful than the masculine qualities that I inherited to survive. And I projected those qualities, you know, in my Hollywood career by channeling my anger, you know, and using my force to become independent and to be free. But it's because I'm in a man's world, you know what I mean? And if all the dudes are there and they're very aggressive and they assert their energy and assert their space, then I have to do the same to make my own space so that I don't get squashed, you know what I mean? And so I think now at 44, a long time after the beginning of my career, I've learned that you know, I can use a little bit of my wit to replace the sword and the fierceness. Obviously, Holga's not that at all. But you can see that there is a softness in her. There's an intelligence in her that's maternal and sweet and kind. And I think that kind of femininity 20 years ago, I wouldn't have had.
Well, that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That makes me think of Widows again, because you do have that really nice balance in that particular film. Aww. Another thing that I was reading from that always catches my ear is when someone works with an acting coach, because I feel like that's not something we talk about very often. And I know that was the first time you worked with a coach since Girl Fight.
Yeah.
So what is something about Greta's approach to, you know, teaching and coaching an actor that you found worked really well for how you like to process, you know, notes and feedback and tips that you could use?
Here's the thing, you know, it's crazy, but I've always been super, super natural. Like, you know, for me, I try to find the truth in a moment and be as sincere as I possibly can within that. And what Greta brings to the table is the art form of that. True thespians, you know, people like Chris, for instance, like you look at him, he's a true thespian. Like the boy loves words and he loves playing them in every single which way possible and looking at all the options in all the land. And I love it, I appreciate it, but it's never really been what I do. I've always just you put me in a situation and I exaggerate whatever I am to suit that situation. And what Greta taught me were some of the wonderful tools of becoming a tool yourself. And I just, you know, I gotta say, I appreciate it. I'm all about it. But I've always felt more like an activist than an actor. You know what I mean? I just take something on and I'm natural as possible within the structure. Like, put it this way, like it'd be really rare for you to see me in a drama. But if something right comes along and I really feel passionate about it, Greta will get that phone call and it'll be like, honey, do you think I got what it takes to do this? And if so, can you guide the way? Because, you know, it's an art form and I respect it, but I don't really, I feel more like an imposter than anything because, no, seriously, because, you know, I know what it is, what it takes to be like a serious actor. I just never decided to take a role that, when you work with somebody like McQueen, you know, he's one of those guys who really wants truth, that kind of honesty that you only get from suffering. And to go there and be vulnerable like that, I need Greta's help. Because, you know, I'm used to the, you know, I have a lot of armor, honey. You know what I mean?
I get it. I mean, a day never goes by where my mind isn't blown by the depths that an actor must go to access certain types of challenging headspaces. It really does. It's something else. You brought up Chris already and how he's got a slightly different approach to the work. So now that's making me wonder, is there any particular example you can give us from Dungeons and Dragons in terms of a time where, you know, Chris did something as a scene partner for you that helped you access something in Holga and that dynamic that you wouldn't have been able to reach had it not been for his unique process?
I mean, this guy, he's a monster. You gotta see him on set. I can't explain it, you know. It's the way that he plays with words and the way that it just flows out of him so naturally. So he will take a monologue and it will become a part of him. And then after that monologue is a part of him, he will divulge it in various different ways so that the director has, you know, various different options to cut it all together. And I think that's awesome. It's just really great to watch him work, you know? It's just inspiring just to be around him because he's so good at what he does.
I can definitely see that based on everything I've seen of his. And he looks like he is just having like an absolute blast in this movie.
He's
and it's
such
infectious.
An actor. I think he came out of the womb acting. I'm convinced. He came out of the womb, you know, with a monologue.
I would believe that. Another thing that I had read you had said in the past was that you credit a lot of your success for certain directors, Karan Kusama, James Cameron, Robert Rodriguez, all seeing something special in you. And it was making me wonder, they're all very different filmmakers, but do you find that they have a shared quality that signals to you that they're directors that will be the type of collaborator that you want to have?
They're rebels. Each and every one of them is a rebel in their own way. If you look at Jim Cameron, he's always getting snubbed by the Oscars, but he's a monster. He's an engineer. He's the kind of guy that sees things that nobody else does. You look at his body of work, his movies, he is able to speak a language of communication to millions of people around the world in a language that they understand, but he'll take that commercial, you know, program and flip it on its head to use it for good. You know, the messages that he's trying to give, you know, are messages that are common goodness to humanity. They're ethical, you know, questions about how we live life. And he poses philosophical, you know, questions that nobody else is really doing what he does. So I find him to be an incredible rebel. Robert Rodriguez, come on. He's got his own studio in Austin, dude. Give me a break. The guy basically said, okay, I guess this is what I have to do my own thing because you guys don't get it. So he built his own studio. Like, come on. You know, and McQueen, I mean, the guy, McQueen, he definitely has another set of eyes. And he definitely loves to play with the edges of truth. And he knows that the only place to find those edges of truth are in these dark corners where suffering can create growth. And you see that in his body of work. And that I find to be rebellious and courageous in so many ways. So yeah, I'm not the girl who comes to Hollywood through the front door. I'm a side door bitch, you know what I mean? I got in through the kitchen. You know, and it's because I got a homie there, you know, and that's kind of been my life. Look at Vin. Vin's my best friend. Me and Vin, we did to Hollywood what hip hop did to the music industry. I mean, and we came with a truth that we were like, how could these other people not see this truth? And we fought for it movie after movie after movie after movie. And now people get it. They're like, oh, they were fighting for something that was important. Obviously, because they're connecting to people from around the world who get it. And so it's like that. It's like, you know what I mean? And I get on with people like that because there's a big heart there. If you look at all of them, they all have a big heart. You can see a big heart in Robert. You can see a big heart in Jim. You can see a big heart in McQueen. You can see, you know what I mean? It's like it's like rebellious, big-hearted, you know, people.
How does the heart and the rebellious nature apply to John and Jonathan now on Dungeons and Dragons? What do they do that kind of signals to you that they've got those qualities as well?
Well, I think that they are able to see what lightheartedness and heartfelt geekiness. Wait, hold on. I gotta think about this one. Because there's something about that script that said to me, I care. I'm not just taking a brand that's been free advertising for 40 years and making a blockbuster out of it. That is second to story. That is second to writing the best adventure we could possibly create and see how the world receives it as an intention. You know, and when people think like that, they're already rebels to me. Because for the most part, I think people reverse engineer things, thinking about the end goal, you know, of like doing a tentpole and like, look at this, it's popular around the world because it came out in Stranger Things, and look at how it's tracking. Look at how the board game sold during COVID, blah, blah, blah. People look at the numbers and they think in numbers. And it's like, no, these are humans in a room using their imagination with these dragons and druids and all of this amazing world full of creatures that have been created over the course of almost 50 years. Like, we need to give this respect. And I think that with John and Jonathan, they come from that. They come from the experience of playing the game, of being excited and seeing the enthusiasm in a room as everybody's laughing, giggling, or falling on the floor with laughter and surprise because the adventure didn't go the way that they planned it to go. Because they understand the process. And understanding the process is what I saw in the script. And a love and respect for the entire legacy of Dungeons & Dragons. That makes them rebels, because that means that they see the heart of something, the core of what keeps something alive, the core that gives energy and life to something. And that is rare. You don't see that every day. You know what I mean? And so, like, you know, yes. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'll take a chance with you guys, because it can be a crapshoot. You know, you can throw the dice on the floor and you can care a lot and think that you were attracted to the right idea and not get it. But being a person who played it as a kid and understanding, you know, the passion that goes behind finding your tribe and all of the amazing, you know, they call them geeks or nerds, but these are just kids who found their flow. They found a place where they are accepted. They found their tribe. And like, you can't throw those people under the bus when you make a movie like this, because, you know, a lot of them put a lot of their life, more percentage of their life than a producer or a director in Hollywood. And what I like about John and Jonathan is that they care. They know that. Not many people do. You know what I mean? And when you know that and you're a good storyteller, I mean, come on, man. That's a good pot.
You feel it while you're watching this movie. I'll look ahead for my last question here, because I have to ask one about Fast 10, because I'm very excited about that. Ooh. The cast in those movies have been absolutely stellar since day one, and that makes me even more eager to ask you this question. What does someone like Jason Momoa bring to the Fast franchise that even all of those exceptional previous ensembles didn't have? What new touch is he going to add now?
I would say revenge with a smirk. Revenge with a smirk. It sounds light, but when you see that, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'd say he's the best male villain we've had in the entire franchise. Of course, because Charlize kills it. You know what I mean? She's a whole other different type of monster, no pun intended. And I gotta say, you know, I think people are gonna be really, really surprised, and we're gonna get a lot of open mouths at the end of Fast 10. Let's just put it that way.
I believe
it's gonna be like,
I believe it.
Really? What? Like that? Like, that's how I was in the theater. I was like, oh my God. What have we done?
Bring it on. I'm ready for it. I have to leave you, but I will say congratulations on everything you accomplished. Congratulations on Dungeons & Dragons. And I can't wait to see what lies ahead for you in the future. Thank you for being on Collider Ladies Night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.